Proverbs chapter 1. So we're back in our series on seeing Jesus, going through the book of the Bible, seeing Jesus Christ in every single book. One message per book, just following it all the way through Scripture. Tonight we're in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to start in verse 20. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that we have this opportunity to listen and to learn. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Bless this time now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Proverbs it's a book of wisdom, right? As we find right at the beginning of the book, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And he sets out right at the beginning that the purpose of this book is to proclaim wisdom to those that need to hear it. And so to everybody. And as we read this book, and as we learn the wisdom that's in this book, and as God teaches us through this book, we understand that we're being pointed in a specific direction. And we're being directed toward a specific outcome. I mean, there's only one direction that this book takes you, and that will always lead to the specific outcome that God wants. We're pointed toward the best possible outcome and away from the worst possible outcome, and we see this in the passage that we read. But in our modern day, we all have a GPS on our smartphone, right? We've all basically have that. And I can remember. I'm not that old, but I can remember when GPS first came out and all of that. But because we have those, we've lost really the art and the skill of how to ask someone for directions, right? Because there was a bit that went into that, right? And you tried to avoid it kind of at all costs. And then when you had to, though, you had to find someone who you thought looked like they knew where they were going. That they could give you good directions, and you had a split second to choose a person. And many times you didn't even have an option. They were the only person, and so you just had to go with them. But then even harder, I think, was the skill of remembering every turn they told you. You know, they're all familiar. They're like, oh yeah, you go down there and you do this and you do that. And you're going, okay, left, right, try to remember this. I remember in college, I traveled with a quartet for the school. And so we would have directions to the church. We would get to the church and we would stay with someone from the church for that night. And so we would all get in the van after the service and they would be like, just follow us. And so we'd follow them there. But the whole way we're trying to memorize these directions, because the next morning we have to go from their house to the church. And so the whole time we're like, all right, we turn left at that stump. You know, we've got a McDonald's on the right, and then we turn left or go straight through that light. And we would constantly repeat this over and over to ourselves to try and remember. And you know, that's kind of maybe an art that's been lost, because nowadays we have this constant voice that's coming from our smartphone or whatever device. And we have this voice that's just telling us which direction we need to go. Right? And if we just listen to that voice, we don't have to ask anybody else. We just listen to that one voice. It's going to get us where we need to go. And we have a great picture of that. And in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 20 down through verse 33, there's these wonderful verses that for us, they personify wisdom. And it starts in verse 20 with this, the picture of this woman who's shouting in the street and calling to those that are passing by. They're on their way. They've got somewhere to go. They've got somewhere to be. And she's calling to them, to those who pass by, that they would learn from her, that they would be directed by her. And she is told to be wisdom. And in this, we see Jesus Christ. We see a picture of Jesus Christ as our wisdom, as the wisdom that we need. And I think, well, let me read this verse. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I see in that a parallel to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, where Jesus Christ went into these cities and these villages and he taught. He offered wisdom to these people. The same way we see this wisdom personified in Proverbs 1 and verse 20, standing in the city going, learn from me. Let me teach you. Let me direct you how you should go. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. As Paul writes to this, to the church at Corinth, he's talking about the preaching of the cross, and he says, well, I'll just go ahead and read it. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. The preaching of the cross, he says, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Because they think they're wise. They think they know where they're going. They think they know what they're doing. Verse 20, he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. God is, Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. That's the wisdom that we see in Proverbs. That's the wisdom we see in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. And Jesus Christ calls to every single person saying, you need to learn from me. You have what you think is wisdom. You have your ways and your directions and your outcomes that you're seeking for. But he says the wisdom that you have is no more than foolishness, despite what you call it, despite what you may think it is. It's foolishness. But he says, I want you to know real wisdom. And by the foolishness of preaching, and Jesus Christ came and he preached wisdom. He preached himself to them. And so Jesus Christ came to guide them in a specific direction toward a specific outcome, toward himself. And so back in Proverbs chapter 1, and verse 20, it starts with a confrontation. All right, it starts with a confrontation as wisdom cries in the streets. Verse 20, again, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. This confrontation. And Jesus Christ offers to them this alternate route, right? He tells them in verse 23 to turn, because they had a direction they were going. And now it's no more about really the direction that they were headed in the city, but it's in their life, right? The choices that they were making and who they were being influenced by was leading them in a direction. And wisdom cries and says, there's an alternative that you need to consider and that you need to take. And he says, turn you at my reproof, at my correction. And he confronts in verse 22, three types of people. And these are recurring roles in the book of Proverbs. As you read through, you find over and over that the simple is mentioned, the scorner, and the foolish. And he mentions all of those in verse 22. And he says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The idea of a simple person is someone that's void of understanding. And it's an ignorance that's really easily influenced. They're easily swayed to one way or the other. It's someone that is open to anything. They're unprincipled. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, the simple believeth every word. I mean, what do you call someone who believes every word? They're gullible, right? That's what you call them. They're a simple person. It's like they haven't found any sort of standard or guidelines that they can live their life by. They're just a simple person. They go any direction. He mentions the scorner next. And the scorners, he says in verse 22, how long will they delight in their scorning? The scorner is he's a know-it-all. He's a person that doesn't need to be taught anything by anybody. And in their pride and in how much they know, they make fun of other people. And they mock at someone that would dare to contradict them or something that they've thought through and they don't agree with. And they just make fun of it and they ridicule it. It's that person. And Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. They're unteachable in who they think they are. And instead of receiving instruction, their reaction generally is to just make fun of it and to ridicule it and to just be that scornful person. The third that's mentioned in verse 22 is, how long are the fools going to hate knowledge? The fool is someone that's stubborn in their ignorance. They refuse to learn, and they're very confident in this. They're very confident in their wickedness. They're confident in their ignorance. And to them, everything is fine about what they're doing. And they don't listen to warning. They're just that foolish person. Proverbs 14 and verse 6 says, a wise man will fear and depart from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That's who the foolish person is. He rageth and he's confident. Right? He's convinced. He knows exactly what he's doing. You can't convince him otherwise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And the book of Proverbs goes through this. And there's a lot of verses that describe each of these individuals. The simple person, the scorner, and the foolish. And as we read through, and especially as in Proverbs chapter 1, as those three are pointed out, the next thing in verse 23 is this confrontation where they're told, turn you at my reproof. And even as we look at who they are and their reaction to instruction and to wisdom, they are not so far gone that they cannot turn at reproof. A foolish person, a scorner, or the simple person, it's not to say that they cannot change, that who they are is set in stone so much that not even the Word of God or the Holy Spirit can change that. We look at this and say, yes, they are who they are. Yes, they have those reactions and they have what they believe and their pride and all of that. But God can change them and God can turn them and God can turn their heart. And so we have this confrontation in verse 23 that they are to turn at my reproof. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, Christ said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Jesus Christ said, the person that I'm trying to deal with are those that know that they need help, because they're the ones that are going to receive this. And when it says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof, the idea of reproof is correction. It's not turn you at my flattery or turn you at how I applaud you for what you're doing. No, it's turn you at my reproof, where I am pointing out what is wrong with your thinking, what is wrong with the way you are going. Turn you at that rebuke, that reproof, that correction. And Jesus Christ is trying to deal with those that are willing to admit that they are wrong, because it's that person that's going to then turn at that reproof. There is this correction, and it's a call to those who will admit their condition and then will turn toward the truth and will turn toward wisdom. And many times that call comes from within, from our conscience, that part that we are, that is in our heart that tells us right from wrong, right? That sense of justice, that sense of fairness that is within every single person. The call comes from the testimony of Christians who live their life according to the wisdom of the Word of God and who are that example to all around them. And it comes through the Word of God as we share that with those that are simple and even those that are scornful and those that are foolish, as we present them the Word of God, the wisdom of God. That call goes out that says, listen, turn you at my reproof. There's a correction. You are not right in who you are and how you're living your life. It is not right. And now turn from that. And they're confronted with this. And I like what the end of verse 23 says. If you turn, behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. There's that promise of the Holy Spirit on those who trust in Christ. And the promise of understanding to those who turn. And we see this confrontation as wisdom presents them with this alternative. But then we see in verses 24 down through verse 32, there's a condemnation. To those who will not turn at his reproof, there's a condemnation. Look in to start in verse 24 and 25. Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. That's the person that he's dealing with right now. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That's harsh condemnation, isn't it? For their disregard, for their refusal to hear. It's very harsh, the language that's used. But the harshness of the condemnation corresponds to the importance of the information that they refused. We've all gone on flights before, right? And before you take off, the stewardess comes out and the announcement goes over about all the safety information, right? And we could probably quote it. You know, you have the seatbelt, you got to put the seatbelt on, and you pull the strap to make sure it's tight. And if you're in your seat, you are to have your seatbelt on until the captain turns off that little light, right? They go through all that about the seatbelt. And then, in case of an emergency, a oxygen mask will drop from the compartment above, right? And you're supposed to put that on yourself first before you help anybody else. Oxygen will be flowing if it has the bag has not inflated, right? We've heard all of this. Pull the straps to make sure it's tight. And then the last one I think is, well, there's the seat, right? The seat in case of a water landing, that seat comes off and that's you can float with that thing. Also, there's your exits, right? Two here, two in the back, two wherever they are, right? All the exits. And they go all through all that. And you know what? When an emergency happens, you're going to be pretty happy that you listened, right? That you know what to do and you know how to take care of all of that. And if you don't, there can be some pretty harsh consequences in the case of an emergency or the plane crashes or something. And we see that how important that information is, and that corresponds with, it's related to how harsh the condemnation is going to be if you have not learned that information. Now, I mean, there's a lot of lesser information that we learn, like the instructions on the back of a box of macaroni. If you don't listen to those and you don't regard those, it's not going to be that bad, right? It can't be that bad if you just don't follow the instructions on the box of macaroni. You just might not get macaroni. You'll have to eat something from the fridge, you know? Not that big a deal. These are the most important instructions in the Word of God, and we have the harshest condemnation because of that. The two go hand in hand. Because of how vital and how important these instructions are, and this wisdom is, because they have refused and because they have not listened and turned from that, they have the harshest condemnation for that. And look in verse 26. The Lord says, I will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. He says in the end of verse 27, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. And these verses, as we come down through verse 26 down through verse 32, they describe a time when this person can no longer turn. when they do not have an opportunity again to turn to the Lord. And I believe it's a picture of this person in hell, and their opportunity for salvation has passed because they can no longer call upon the Lord. Verse 20, they can call all they want. He will not answer. It's that time. And so now, as they experience the end, the outcome that they headed toward and that they would not turn from, now the Lord says, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And it's not a laughter of enjoyment or pleasure, but it is a pointing out of the foolishness. In the same manner as you laughed at him, you are now reaping what you have sown, literally. You have sown mocking and laughing at God and his wisdom. And now he is laughing and mocking at your wisdom. And there's this picture that in hell, you will have no opportunity to play the victim. You're not going to have the opportunity to stand there and say, well, it wasn't made clear enough, or I'm not at fault in this. But instead, it will be pointed out to you your foolishness in not turning at his reproof and not listening. Luke chapter 16, I want you to turn there with me. We know Luke chapter 16 is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and this vivid depiction of this man in hell. And in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, after the rich man died and was buried in the end of verse 22, it says in verse 23 that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. There was no excuse for this man. He was getting what he deserved. He was getting what he had earned. And in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 28, it says, And how sad is this? They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. There's no answer. No answer that's given to them because their time of hearing and listening has passed. They had an opportunity where God called to them. And God called to them to listen to him and be saved, and they passed on that. And now the time is over, and they have no chance. And if we were to go back to Luke chapter 16, we would find that Abraham says to this man in hell, there's no hope for you. There's no help. There's no chance of your salvation. There is this chasm between you and me, and there is no crossing that chasm. And that man could call out in hell for all he wanted, and he would find no help. Not even a drop of water to cool his tongue. His time had passed. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And people can mock God all they want, but he will have the last laugh. And they who have mocked God will find that thrown back in their face. This is how you treated God, and now you are experiencing, you are reaping, literally, what you have sown all those years. There's consequences to rejecting wisdom and to rejecting truth. And the Lord says to them, he says, I've offered you the truth. I've offered you the way of life. And I've said, you turn from where you're going. Turn from where you're heading. And he says, you have chosen foolishness. You've chosen sin. And now you have to endure the condemnation you have chosen. Verse 32 or verse 31, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. These are harsh words, but there's not a harsh spirit in God as he proclaims this to them. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 5. It's not a harsh spirit, as the Lord says this. Proverbs 27 and verse 5. There's this bit of wisdom. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The one who doesn't warn you does not love you. It's the love of God that sends out this warning that says, turn you at my reproof. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. See and understand what I'm trying to teach you. And turn from that. We see a confrontation. We see a condemnation. And lastly, I want to see a conservation. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, that very last verse. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Conservation, a place of safety. This is the alternative. This is the other path. This is where God wants us to end up. And this is where we will end up if we listen to wisdom, in this place of safety, place of conservation. For years, giant pandas have been basically the face of wildlife conservation, right? As they try and protect all these endangered species. And for years, giant pandas were an endangered species. There was a lot of bamboo forest, and basically that's all they'll eat. They're very picky in their appetite. They basically just eat bamboo. And so there was a lot of deforestation that was taking place. And as that happened, the giant panda population shrunk, and you know, they really weren't that good at crossing roads to get to like the next bamboo forest. And so they became endangered. But recently they've been downgraded from endangered to simply vulnerable. You know, which, saying they're vulnerable, hey, that's a step up for these giant pandas. But it's been the work of a lot of different groups that have come in and, you know, done their thing and tried to protect them and find them a safe place for them to live and to raise their families, and to find this conservation for them and this place of safety from all the dangers that these animals faced. And we see that tucked right in the end of chapter 1, this place of safety for the believer, the one who trusts in Christ, the one who accepts the wisdom that is offered to us. And he describes this place for us. We'll dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man place them out of my hand. My Father shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's our place of conservation. That's our place of safety. And you know, conservation means, it means that you can't save yourself. It means someone else has to step in and do that for you. And that's what we see with Jesus Christ. We see that we can't conserve ourselves. In our own wisdom, in our trying to figure things out and map a route through life and plan everything out, we find that that ends in foolishness and condemnation and destruction. And then Jesus Christ steps in. And he says, if you just follow me, if you just turn at my reproof, he says, I have a place of safety for you. I have somewhere that you can dwell. And he steps in on our behalf. And I love verse 33, the end. It says, you shall be quiet from fear of evil. Quiet from fear of evil. That peace and that tranquility and that rest that we find in Jesus Christ, where we're not worried, but we're just secure in who he is. Jesus said in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. When we're in the hands of Jesus Christ, we're in the hands of our Savior, there's no cause for worry or for fear. When we're just resting in who Jesus Christ is, we've found in Christ our place of conservation, our place of safety, our salvation. So we see this confrontation, a condemnation, and conservation. And it comes down really to the end of, or the beginning of that last verse, verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, turn you at my reproof, listen to me. Condemnation or conservation, it all hinges right there. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, whoso listens and follows, who hears my teaching and then does that person, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. It all comes down to wisdom. Who are we going to listen to? That's what makes the difference. Who are we going to let influence us by what they say? Who is going to teach us? Who are we going to listen to? Because who we listen to determines the direction that we go and the destination that we're going to reach. It all turns on whoso hearkeneth unto me. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says that a prudent man or a wise man, he foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He finds himself a place of safety. But the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 19 says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. If they listen to their own wisdom or they listen to the wisdom of those around them, they're going to find the direction that they head in will lead them to the destination of their condemnation and their destruction. But there's an alternative path. There's a different route that we can take. And wisdom leads us in that direction. And I want to read one more passage in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. And I want to read verses 1 down through verse 6. And it's a similar passage to what we find in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 8 and verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Look down to verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Hear instruction and be wise. If you listen to wisdom, you become wise. And don't we see in that this conforming of us into the image of Christ, who is wisdom? Where as we learn from Christ and as we find in Him that place of safety and He teaches us, He molds us. And the student becomes like the teacher. And those that learn become like wisdom. And we're remade into that image of God as we live our life as Jesus Christ lived His life. And Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. That is first and foremost for us, is getting Jesus Christ. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Turn from our pride, turn from our ignorance, and learn from Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lesson in here for Christians too, because it's very easy for us to become wise in our own eyes again. And after we've learned from Christ for a time to go back to the way we did it before, where we just trust in ourselves again, where we're leaning on our own understanding and leaning on the wisdom that we think we have in ourselves. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get His wisdom. Get Jesus Christ. Because if we once again turn from wisdom, we're going to be heading in the wrong direction. No longer toward condemnation, but certainly toward chastening and toward the correction of God as He brings us back to Himself. And so the question tonight is, where are you headed? What direction are you going? There's a direction that will lead you to a specific destination. And if you will listen, and if you'll simply shut out all the other voices, including your own, and turn to wisdom, turn to Jesus Christ, He's going to lead you exactly where He wants you to be. And if you're not saved, you will find, when you turn to Christ, you'll find that place of safety. And as a believer, if you just listen to Jesus Christ, He'll lead you exactly where He wants you to be in this life. And He'll keep you all the way to glory. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom.